As you that have been here are familiar, we've been, for the last about 3 months, been going into a series of lessons I've entitled Midnight Bible Stories, and there's a lot of them in Scripture. And most recently, we've been discussing the story found in Joshua 2 of Rahab and the two spies, and we're pretty much done with that, but there is some concluding thoughts that I do have in this, and I know you've been probably had plenty of time to study this out, so I want to finish up with a question we asked last week that will help us better appreciate all the midnight Bible stories found in Scripture. And what we need to determine in each one of these stories is who's the main character in our story? Who's the main character in this midnight Bible story of Rahab and the two spies? And of course, in order to answer this question, we first must identify all the characters found in this story in Joshua 2. And here are the characters that are listed, that are found in Joshua 2. You have Joshua, of course. You have the two unnamed spies. Wouldn't you like to know who they were? But I think we do have a hint of who one of them is. Rahab, of course, was another of the characters. The king of Jericho, he's another one. The men of Jericho, they're another bunch of characters found in this chapter. And the Lord. Now, the main character in our story of Joshua 2 is the Lord. Who's the main character in our life? me, myself, and I? Or is it the Lord? To the full overcomer, it'll be the Lord. And so the Lord is the main character of all midnight Bible stories. This is called the Word of God. It's another name for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's the main character in the Bible. Okay, he should be our main character. And now Rahab, who this midnight Bible story revolves around, she acknowledges the Lord to be the main character in this Bible story. Notice here, if you're in Joshua 2, Rahab said in Joshua 2:9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She acknowledged the Lord first. In Joshua 2:10, she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And that was some 40 years earlier. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Rahab said in Joshua 2:11, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then Rahab made this request of the two spies that she had so carefully treasured up in our Bible story, Midnight Bible story. She treasured them up as representatives from the Lord, and she made this request of them in Joshua 2:12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. There was no greater. She knew that. The other two characters whom this midnight Bible story revolves around, they also acknowledge the Lord to be the main character in this midnight Bible story. And these are the two spies. And they first acknowledge the Lord to be the main character in Joshua 2:14, where they admit to Rahab their faith in the Lord. And they said in Joshua 2:14, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that's a statement of faith, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Notice that they knew the Lord was going to give them the land. They made that statement. In Joshua 2:24, when the two spies get back to Joshua, they tell him, Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They learned this information from Rahab. So again, the Lord is the main character in this midnight Bible story of Joshua 2. Now, as is the case in all our lives, we have an adversary, and Rahab too had an adversary in this midnight Bible story. And this adversary was the king of Jericho. One of the meanings of Jericho is the place of fragrance. And as such, it depicts the world and the fragrant deceptions of Satan, the place of fragrance. And the king of Jericho is a type of Satan himself, and the men of Jericho were his messengers. Recall what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:8. He writes to us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, the king of Jericho and his messengers were not able to find the two spies because they were safely hidden under the stalks of flax and guarded by the Lord himself, who safely delivered them from the king of Jericho. Thus, the two spies are proof of what we read in 1 John 4:4, that scripture you're familiar with. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the Lord's main representative in the book of Joshua is Joshua, okay? Throughout the whole book of Joshua. And it was Joshua who sent out the two spies into Jericho. And it was Joshua to whom the two spies brought back the report they learned from Rahab that we just read in Joshua 2:24. Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Turn to Joshua, the 5th chapter. As the Lord's main representative in the book of Joshua, we've already pointed out, and you probably haven't remember this, but if not, I'll mention it again. Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. And when the two spies returned from Jericho with their report from Rahab, Joshua and the children of Israel were on the east side of the Jordan River. In Joshua chapter 3, they crossed over the Jordan, and by Joshua 5:13, they were next to Jericho. Now, the distance that they traveled, I think, was like 8 miles there. It's not very far. And we read the following account starting in Joshua 5:13. This is about Joshua. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, But as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. Am I now come? Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, What saith the Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, who is the captain of the Lord's host? Is it not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself? The captain of the Lord's host, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, was here emphasizing to Joshua the fact that Jehovah is salvation. In Psalms 95:1, we read this statement, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That was Psalm 95:1. Well, note here, in Joshua 5:13-14, that as Joshua faced that great battle against Jericho, the Lord was already right there with his sword drawn in his hand and announcing, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? You remember how that battle was fought? Kind of silly the way it was fought, wasn't it? They circled the town several times. And the walls collapsed inwardly. And they were defeated. But they were defeated before they crossed the Jordan River, you know. Rahab had told them that they were defeated. And you think about David when he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47. I'll give you a minute, a second, 30 seconds, 12 seconds, some time to turn there. 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47. And David knew as he faced Goliath that the Lord would deliver Goliath into his hand. And he said there, For the battle is the Lord's. And this is the same lesson that the Lord was teaching Joshua. The battle is the Lord's, and as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. To us, as potential full overcomers, we must realize that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the author and the finisher of our race course. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. And he wants us to also know that in our greatest, darkest, midnight hour of need, the battle is the Lord. And as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Praise the Lord. For these lessons. This is what we're learning here. Now, again, Joshua is the Lord's main representative in the whole book of Joshua. And as such, Joshua trusted the captain of the Lord's host to enable him to save Rahab and her household, as the two young spies had sworn unto her in their oath of Joshua 2:14, where they said, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Go to Joshua 6:25. There we find, again, the end results of the oath made between the two spies and Rahab that midnight hour. And here's the end result of what happened in Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You might have forgot this, but I'll remind you that Rahab's name means wide or breadth or enlargement, and it shows us the vast expanse of God's grace. And truly, she claimed much faith from the Lord, including the salvation of her whole household. That's quite a long time to get through that one midnight Bible story, and there was a lot of lessons there, and there's a lot more that we probably could have covered, but we'll move on. We kind of are going to do this in the midnight Bible stories. The way I think that the Lord wants me to go about it is an Old Testament midnight Bible story, a New Testament midnight Bible story, and back and forth, because they're all over the place. And the next midnight Bible story, and I kind of had a little bit of a discussion with the Lord about this. You sure you want me to do this one next? Oh, yeah. You're not getting any more until you get through this one. I says, okay. So, you know, guess when you have these kind of discussions? It's in the midnight. Right, Kevin? Scott knows that too. So we're going to go to the second chapter of Luke, and we're going to read another midnight Bible story. It's kind of different from the others, about the shepherds and the Lamb of God. That might explain my phone call to you yesterday, Ray, a little bit. Okay. And this is an amazing midnight Bible story. And it's quite different from most of the midnight Bible stories that we've examined so far, because up until this point, we've looked at, in the midnight Bible stories, how the Lord delivered some worthies of faith out of troublesome times that they faced during the darkest hours of their lives. And we made the statement that Brother Hill once made concerning those Old Testament worthies of faith found in Hebrews 11, that the darkest of times brought forth the heroes of faith. But this midnight Bible story that we're going to discuss in Luke 2 reveals one of the most encouraging events recorded in Scripture, if you could define them. I mean, it certainly is. And that is the birth of the Lamb of God and his introduction to the shepherds. Now, there's nothing negative about this whole thing. It's an encouragement. And it's one of the unique stories of Luke. And Luke was that faithful follower of the Apostle Paul, who also followed Christ as he was taught to do so by Paul. And by following Paul and closely following Paul like he did, Luke witnessed and was told some incredible stories that no other writer of Scripture could reveal. And Luke wrote, as you know, the Gospel according to Luke in the book of Acts. And if you'll study those out, you'll find that he wrote those to a guy named Theophilus, who was thought to have been the head guy in the church in Antioch, Syria. And if you recall from our study of the Apostle Paul, this church in Antioch, Syria, we owe so much thanks to. They were called first Christians there in Antioch in Syria. They were the ones that sponsored the Apostle Paul in all his missionary journeys. And I imagine this is probably where Paul first got acquainted with Luke. And if you go back to, you don't have to do this, but you can research a little bit about Luke for yourself. And in Acts 20, we read in verses 5 and 6 that Luke traveled with Paul. He'd done so before but had left, and now he rejoins him in Acts 20, verses 5 and 6. And we start reading things from the we and us perspective of Luke there. And Luke traveled with Paul till they came to Jerusalem in Acts 20. And in Acts 21, I mean, he was there when Paul was arrested. And you go and look at Acts 27 and 28. Acts 27, you have that shipwreck. Acts 28, you have Paul traveling to Rome. Guess who was with him? Luke. Guess who was with Paul in 2 Timothy 4:11 when Paul writes to Timothy, "Only Luke is with me." Luke stuck with him. He was a good, close follower of the Apostle Paul. How many stories did Paul tell Luke? Well, the stories that we have in the book of Acts, a lot of them were stories that Paul told Luke. How would we know the story of what happened in Sanhedrin council meeting when Stephen preached before him? How would we know that? It was a Sanhedrin council that was there. And a guy named Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, who remembered that strong Holy Ghost inspired sermon that Stephen preached word for word years later, quoted it to Luke, who wrote it down. Here's what he said. Here's the words. These are the things that pricked my heart. And Luke was able to write that down. And these other events that we talked about. And so we see that from probably the time that Luke joined Paul in Acts 20, verse 5 and 6, he stayed with him throughout the rest of his life. Now, when Paul was arrested in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21, we know that he was transported to Caesarea. Another midnight Bible story, if you think about it, about 70 miles away, under the escort of the Roman military. And he was held there for 2 years, if you read the account. Luke was with him when he was arrested in Jerusalem. Luke wasn't arrested. Luke was in Jerusalem. Who would Luke be talking to while he was there? The apostles, the kingdom apostles. He got to meet Mary, Jesus' mother. Mary told Luke some things that none of the other gospel writers write about. You think about it. How could Luke have written about what Mary pondered in her heart, or how she marveled at the things that concerning Jesus that you read in Luke 2:33, or how would he know that she cast in her mind what kind of salutation it was that Gabriel had given her in Luke 1:28-30. How could he have known those things had she not told him? I thought long and hard about these things. And how would Luke know about the sayings of Jesus when he was a 12-year-old, when he was there in the temple, had not Mary told him what was said there? So he had to have interviewed her, and Mary had personally told Luke about these things, and it was important enough that the Holy Ghost inspired Luke to write what he wrote. Let's go to Luke for the first chapter for a moment, just to, so you get the drift of this. This is not in my notes, but it's going to be on the recording here. In Luke 1:1 through 4, Luke writes, "For as much as many have taken in hand," with a pen and paper, I guess, "to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and minister of the word, it seemed good to me, Luke, also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," in other words, from the beginning when Jesus was brought forth, and even before that, "from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus," that head guy there at the church there in Antioch in Syria, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." I've come across some information that's going to be interesting to you. Here it is. That's what he's saying. Okay. I think that's enough background information on Luke, why he was the writer of the book of Luke and the book of Acts, how the Holy Ghost inspired him to write this scripture, how he got his information by personally interviewing the different ones that he did. And so this gets us back to Luke chapter 2, this amazing midnight Bible story. It comes from information that Luke got by interviewing Mary, the mother of Jesus, and of course Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a part of this midnight Bible story that we're going to discuss. In Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, we find Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem, to the city of David, that is Bethlehem, where she gave birth to Jesus, as was foretold in the prophets. That's where it was. And in Luke 2:7 says this, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, think about this. Luke is the only writer of Scripture to note that Jesus was laid in a manger. He was the only writer of Scripture to write that there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. He was the only writer of Scripture to make a record of the fact that Mary wrapped baby Jesus in swaddling clothes. How could he know this? Because Mary had told him. Okay? And when she told him these things later in life, Luke wrote them down. You ain't going to read it anywhere else, okay? Now, our midnight Bible story of the shepherds and their interaction with the Lamb of God on the night of his birth is found in the next verses of Luke chapter 2. We'll start in verse 8 and we'll read the story. This is a midnight Bible story, okay? Luke 2:8. This was on the night of his birth. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." as any of us would have been. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels, this heavenly host, were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go forth, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste that same night, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Who listened to him? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Tell me one person that you read of in Scripture who told about this, besides Luke, and he got the information from Mary. But they had made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. There was a shepherd one time that I met at an airport. He was being transported to a hospital in Cheyenne, Wyoming, because he was kind of lost it out there with the sheep, and he was old. Nobody was going to listen to him. They figured he shouldn't be out there with the sheep anymore, and that he needed the care of a facility, of a home in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I wonder how they felt about these shepherds when they told them the story of the things they heard and seen that night. Yeah, right. You know? That's probably what they thought. Oh, yeah, sure. You hang in there with them sheep, okay? You know, that's probably what they thought. When I was flying, I did my best to bid schedules that would get me to as many church services as I could. And to do that, 1 month, maybe 2 months, I ended up bidding a schedule that I had to fly all night out of Houston. I flew from Houston to Sacramento, California, and back. I'd fly out there about 8 o'clock at night and come back. And by the time I got back, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. One night, we're flying out there, and all the freight aircraft are out there, Federal Express, UPS. And somebody says, "Whoa, did you see that?" The guy says, What was that? What did you see?" "You didn't see that?" There had to be a, I don't know what it was, maybe a falling star or a missile or something. And one of the guys got on and says, "You know, we fly out here all night, all the time. We see a lot of things. We see a lot of things out here at night that you couldn't describe to people up there in the air." And so there's no way that these shepherds were believed, it looks like, when they told the things that would happen. It says in verse 18, "All they that heard it wondered at those things which are told them by the shepherds. Did they believe him? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How would Luke know that? Because Mary told her that she'd pondered these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned to watching their sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, this part of our studies on Midnight Bible Stories, we entitled The Shepherds and the Lamb of God, because the shepherds were the first among men outside of Mary and Joseph to witness Jesus here on earth. And I want you to ponder that thought as we conclude here this morning, because the Holy Ghost will give you some good thoughts about why they were the ones, the shepherds, kind of the lowest of the people, if you will. Why were they thus privileged? And there's a lot of good answers to why the shepherds were the first privileged to witness the Lamb of God. And we'll talk about that more, Lord willing, next time.